Hey Potters, welcome to episode 102 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We're actually recording this episode a little bit early because by the time you guys are hearing this, normally we would be doing Extra Life. So a lot of our fellow acquaintances, friends, fellow audience members, fellow famous people, even though we're not really famous, will all be playing video games for charity. And that is when we would normally be recording. So instead, we are recording this a little bit early so that everybody else can get adequate sleep before embarking on the marathon of a lifetime to help needy kids by playing video games.
Yay.
So for all those who participated in Extra Life by the time this drops, we would like to say a hearty thank you. Your efforts are noted and appreciated. I know I will be watching other people's streams when I'm not at the conference that I'm scheduled to be at that day. So as soon as I'm done with the conference, I'm going to race home and watch people's Extra Life streams. So yay.
Hopefully one of them is mine and you can tell me how terrible I'm being. So it's okay.
I do tend to have two or three Extra Life streams open because I like to watch Rooster Teeth's Extra Life stream as well. So I'll switch back and forth when there are lulls in either stream. And of course, I don't stay up 24 hours because I can't. So at some point I will have to go to bed and the stream will just be on in the background. I'll learn through diffusion, not osmosis, because that's not scientifically correct, people.
It is diffusion. Yeah, that's the one hard part for me, is just having the endurance to do it a full 24 hours. It's just like, I'm a little too old to be doing that, but at least they're kind enough that you can break it up if necessary. So if you want to do like 10 hours one day and then 10 hours another day and then 4 hours a third day, you can do that. So at least it's not like forcing you to do the endurance run, but it's just more fun to try and do it.
Yep. And I know there's at least one local place here in the DFW area that is actually physically renting out a place to do a 24-hour run. And they're also including board games in that. They had a big donation of Cards Against Humanity that they're going to be breaking out for charity, of course. So I'm debating if maybe after the conference, if I want to go swing by there as well.
That couldn't hurt. It could be fun. I know a lot of people going. They invited me to go. But I'm like, I've got a team. I have to be at home playing with them.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Also, happy Halloween for those who celebrated it as we are filming it. Halloween was yesterday.
Yay. It's still in my living room. So technically it's still Halloween.
I still have neighbors that have lights up and decorations still up. I imagine those will probably come down today. I did despair a little bit as I was going through the store because, of course, I went early for clearance candy. The good stuff, of course. But as I was walking down the aisles, they had two little circulars, two little displays of the leftover costumes, which were all kids. They were no adults. But they already had Christmas candy lining the shelves.
Yeah, duh.
It's just like, really, guys? Come on, turkeys before trees, please. Let us at least get through Thanksgiving.
You have no idea.
I'm fighting a losing battle. I know this. I know that. But it's like, we just now took our costumes off and we're already moving into Yuletide season and Christmas lights and fake trees and everything else. I mean, the local grocery store already has a giant artificial Christmas tree in their lobby when you first walk in the doors. Like, you didn't even see the Halloween clearance stuff before you saw the giant tree.
Yeah, I've been promoting Christmas at work since July. Very literally, I've been promoting our company Christmas ornament. And for the last 2 months, I've been promoting artificial trees in our stores. Like, seriously, Christmas has been going on for a couple months for me, long before Halloween even began. This is sad.
Yeah. I am still considering, because I know that our company Christmas party will be coming up in a little over a month. And I'm at a new company now. I have a new job. And I'm still considering throwing together my Christmas Renaissance outfit to take to the Christmas party. The one that I was talking about with, you know, poinsettia headband and little jingle bells and, you know, just the white chemise and a red corset. Because it'd be classy. It'd be different.
Yeah, it'd be cute. Mm-hmm. I still say go for it.
Yeah, it's going to depend on my house situation since all my crafting stuff is packed up. All my Ren gear had to get packed back up. But we'll see. We'll see. Depends on the selling of my house. Chances are I will still be here by the time the Christmas party happens.
Adulting!
Yeah, my cosplay update, quite frankly, is I've been doing woodworking and masonry for my house. They punched giant holes in my house because they finally fixed the issue that I was having. So now I have to patch all the giant holes. And you never really figure out what the innards of your house look like until they actually cut holes in it and you can see them. So I've been doing drywall patching for the last 48 hours. My hands and arms are kind of plastered, pun intended, with all sorts of gypsum dust and fiberglass and all sorts of gross stuff. And I haven't even started sanding yet. The hardware guys still always look at me funny when I'm in the store. Like I shouldn't be there by myself. Come on, dudes. Girls can do it too, I
Well,
promise.
you know how it is.
I know. It's one of these days, I hope that stereotype falls to where I don't get the funny looks when I go into hardware stores by myself.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
You know what? I still get kind of funny looks whenever I go into like the fabric stores. I think because most people see me and they're like, "You're too young to be in here." And I'm like, no, anybody can be in here. I almost feel bad for the guys who walk in there and who are legitimately there to get woodworking stuff or to do fun things. And I'm like, don't judge them. They like this stuff. Let them be. They're spending money here. Let them be.
Yeah, I feel for the guys who do their own sewing.
Yeah.
Mostly because they get funny looks from the old women. Like,
Exactly.
what are you doing? It's
Like, why
kind of
are
the
you
same thing.
here?
I mean, come on. This is 2015. Men can sew, and some of them actually sew really well.
Shocking. Oh my goodness. Like really?
Yeah. And women can do DIY sorts of things, both around the house and with prop working. I mean, there are famous female cosplayers who work in industry doing this sort of thing. But, you know, more power to them. I will keep my hopes high that eventually we will all get over ourselves and realize that we can all do pretty much anything that we want to do.
Maybe by the time we're 80.
I'll give it until I'm 40.
Okay.
Still got a few years to go. If it hasn't happened by that point, I think I may as well lose hope.
At that point, no. No.
All right, that was my only update since all my
Woohoo.
costuming stuff is still packed away since I'm doing house showings again, so. You got anything?
Kinda. It's cosplay related, but it's not really anything that I'm doing personally. I haven't had time because it's been Halloween, and I like Halloween. It's my favorite holiday, so I decorate the living crap out of my house, and I'm in the process of taking all of it down and storing it again. So yeah, I haven't really had time to actually work on my cosplay stuff in the past week, but I did want to show this off because I think that this is something that people really should start subscribing to. Cosbox. I've talked about this before. Amber and I have talked about this before. You guys totally need to sign up for this because, oh my God, I got the special box this month because I'm one of their reps. And I was a little blown away by the amount of stuff that's in here. Like, for 15 to 20 bucks, you get a resin cast horn. Dudes, this stuff usually comes into play like, what, $40, $50 for this stuff? And you can get it for next to nothing. And I got face paint, I got test enamels, I got some new brushes to play with, and I'm just like, oh my God, this was the best idea ever. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a code right here so you guys can try out Cosbox for 5% off your very first box order. It's a lot like Loot Crate where you can either purchase a box every month or you can get a subscription service. If you do the subscription, it's a little bit cheaper. But seriously, guys, if you ever want to test out a bunch of stuff, sign up for Cosbox because that gives you the opportunity to get little samples of stuff. And then you don't have to worry about buying the whole sheet and then realize, oh crap, this is not what I wanted to work with. This is total BS. Let me try something else. And I know next month's box is all about armor making. So sign up ASAP so you can get the samples of Warbla and Wonderflex and Syntra and all that goodness. So there you go.
That's going to be real popular.
Oh goodness, yes. I don't know if they've sold out yet, but I'm thinking they're pretty close to it because that's going to be a very popular box.
Yep.
That's
Also,
all I got.
I believe Costbox does the regular boxes and they do the themed boxes as well, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So the one that I got was the special Halloween edition, which is why I got the resin cast horn. I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing because I'm like, I'm not a pony cosplayer, but I know a number of people who are who would probably love this because it even got like a hair clip like secured to it. So I'm like, oh my God, this is brilliant. So yeah, somebody may be gifted with a horn from me. That sounds kind of weird. But
Yeah, so if you're not into armor making, you can always choose the standard box and you don't have to necessarily worry about getting things you can't use.
exactly. But still, even just knowing that you can get a bunch of tester items just to kind of play with it and try out, that's just so cool. You don't have to spend $15 on two tubes of paint that you find out are going to be absolute crap. You can spend less than that to get multiple sections of paint and you realize, okay, this is what I want to do in my project next.
Especially with shipping nowadays.
Good gravy. I'm just giddy and over the moon because they sent me the Mehron body paint that I absolutely adore in the color that I use. Oh my God. Like I'm set up with paint for the next 3 years. It's great. It's the tester size too. I'm like, good, this is, oh my gosh. I've been giddy about this for the last day and a half.
Apparently.
It doesn't take much to make me happy, but when you get me body paint and the paint that I like and the colors that I use, it's just like, I'm done. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. And I did all the unboxing for them while I was in my Evil Queen costume, so that just made it even better.
All right.
That's my cosplay updates. I got nothing. Maybe I'll have something next time. I gotta actually get my butt to work on cosplay.
All right. Cosplay in the news. Let's go ahead and start real quick with something that will be upcoming. We are actually going to be on the Google Podcast portal. So
Yay.
if you guys listen to podcasts via Android, they are going to be opening up a podcast, well, reopening up their podcast section in Google Music so that you can listen to podcasts. And we have gone ahead, we've submitted our podcast. It is currently being reviewed. And once done, hopefully we will be up on the portal just like everybody else for your listening pleasure. So, yay, another place where you can find Gosspot. All right, next up, there was a couple of stories, there were a couple of stories on ABC and NBC News. On ABC News, this was the greatest thing to look at ever. Dad outraged at cute, for those who couldn't see me, I'd made air quotes, cute. Halloween costumes for girls creates more than cute campaign. Long story short, basically, this father took his daughters out to the costume store to get costumes for Halloween. And the girls wanted to be superheroes. Fine and good. But when he looked at the selection of costumes for little girls, he found that almost all of them were princesses and fairies, which is very stereotypical for little girls, you know, think Elsa, think Tinkerbell, that sort of thing. It's very Disney-esque. And he said that what superhero costumes they did find had very, for lack of a better word, girly accessories like tutus and wands, still very fairy-like. And he was like, okay, this is not what my kids want. They want to be superheroes, not fairies or princesses. And they were apparently looking for something like what you'd see in the new Star Wars flick with Rey. They wanted to do something like that. And so this dad started a hashtag called More Than Cute. And he also runs an organization called Heroic Girls, which is to empower young girls to try and get people to post pictures of their daughters in heroic costumes, in costumes that were not just princesses or fairies. Not that there's anything wrong with those costumes, but he's basically trying to get greater choice for little girls to say that little girls can be whatever they want to be for Halloween. They're not restricted to being Disney princesses. And apparently it went viral, of course, on Twitter, and all sorts of people were just posting pictures left and right of these little girls as Ronda Rousey,
That one's my
as
favorite.
Yes, as Dr. Horrible and Captain Hammer from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which the little girls may or may not know much about.
Probably not, but that's okay.
I mean, the picture that's on the header of the article has one of them as Captain Marvel and the other one as Squirrel Girl. I mean, these are just adorable little costumes. And they're not fairies or princesses to show that girls have choice. He was, basically trying to show his daughters that it's not just fairies and princesses. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and since you mentioned Dr. Horrible, Neil Patrick Harris and his family actually posted pictures of what they did this year, and they went full on Star Wars. So their kids did did the whole nines on going Luke Skywalker and Leia and like old school Episode Four. They just looked kick ass. It was just super, super cool to see.
There were a lot of stars who were doing costumes this past Halloween. Val just showed me a picture of The Rock as Popeye,
Yeah, buddy.
which was hilarious. And I believe it was Heidi Klum as Jessica Rabbit.
You got it. Yeah, and I love Heidi. Oh my God, Heidi, seriously, I adore you to bits. Oh my God.
So, it's not just for little kids, it can be for adults too. It's okay to play dress up, guys.
I have to say it was really entertaining because this is the first year seeing all the trick-or-treaters out that more and more parents were also dressing up with their kids. And it was so cool. So I saw a family of Minions. That was funny to see. Saw a bunch of Ninja Turtle families together. So it was just a lot of fun that the parents were getting more involved in the costumes too. And I'm like, that's how it should be. Be dorky with your kids because that's what makes it all fun.
And it makes it a more welcoming atmosphere too, to have everybody
Absolutely.
participate.
Oh yeah. You figure you're going walking around the street anyways. Your kids are having fun. Join them. What's stopping you? Just do it.
All right, and on more Halloween stories in the news. This one is from NBC, and this is Magical Wheelchair offers unforgettable Halloween for disabled kids. And basically what this is a father whose son has muscular dystrophy, basically built a pirate ship made of wood, tablecloth sails, and specially crafted cannons, and they fit it to his wheelchair, to his son's wheelchair. And his son just went ballistic. He loved it and has never forgotten it. And over the years, basically, this guy has inspired other people who are wheelchair bound to incorporate their costumes into their wheelchair. I mean, we've seen the TIE fighters, we've seen Toothless the Dragon, we've seen the pirate ship. I mean, there have been all sorts of things. I've seen a TARDIS, I've even seen somebody turn their wheelchair into a throne from Game of Thrones.
Yep, I've seen that as well. I saw that at Dragon Con too.
So it's really heartwarming to see that even if you are disabled, you don't have to be counted out. You can cosplay too. You can adapt it to your situation and your needs. And that's really cool.
It's very
I mean,
empowering.
this guy has done some amazing things with this picture. I mean, I think from the header picture in this, the little boy is he's riding Toothless. It makes it look like he's riding because they put fake
Right.
legs on the sides of his wheelchair. And I can't see the picture for the little girl, but I had thought that it was maybe from Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, maybe that's what it
It's a
is.
monster of some sort. It's
Okay.
almost a Muppet-like monster for the little girl that's next to him. But there's all sorts of things people can do, and it's very creative, it's very imaginative. And it really makes the kids' day. It really does because they get to participate and have fun too. They don't have to just think of themselves as being wheelchair bound. Oh, it's so cool. I love all these story I love all these heartwarming stories that everyone can cosplay no matter the circumstance.
Right? It's just, and that's how it should be. There shouldn't be any restrictions or limitations. It just be whatever you want to do and just make it happen.
And actually, there's another one that I caught on Facebook. This was posted by Kevin, and I won't give his last name since we don't have permission, but it looks like his entity is called Dystopian Studios. Basically, what this guy does is
Mm-hmm.
very custom crafted prosthetics for vets that are done in the style of cosplay and steampunk. So that if you need a prosthesis, he made a steampunk prosthesis for this guy, this vet who lost an arm in Iraq. And he is thrilled with it. You can see in the picture, he's kind of stoked. And it looks like he's doing other cosplay style. Like if you wanted to do an Iron Man prosthesis, he could do it. These are really good, solid people who are doing these works for others who are in need. And it kind of lets them be inclusive because these guys, these vets can cosplay too. And they can be dorks just like the rest of us. And I love that
Everybody's a
he's doing
dork.
it. He, I believe, does it for free. He doesn't charge the vets. And that is very awesome.
I say that's incredibly noble because that's something that so easily people could profit off of, and he's opting not to do that. That's incredibly noble.
Oh, okay. Dystopian Studios is the where they did the photo shoot, but it looks like Big Art Labs may be the actual company that does it. And it's Big Art is one phrase or one word. So Big Art Labs. He's even saying he could possibly do steam effects with some of the prosthetics. Ha, that would be so cool.
That would be really cool.
He's putting the steam in steampunk.
I
He
have to
really
say,
is.
there was a lot of steampunk costumes that were at the store this year too. I was a little surprised by that. It was taking over just as much as all the superhero costumes were. Nerding out is becoming a thing.
Nerding is becoming normal. I'm not sure I like this.
They're jumping onto our culture, Amber. I don't know about this.
They're onto us. They're onto us. Ah. All right. And for the final news story, and I'm waiting for our homepage to load because we actually posted this. Cosplay has finally made it into a museum.
Know, that's kind of cool, right?
And I wanted to share that. The original post is from "And Sewing is Half the Battle." It looks like this is in Copenhagen, Denmark, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. But it looks like the Danish National Museum has an exhibit going on right now about costumes and cosplayers. And they have displays of various wigs, various costume components. You can try on a fuku if you want to. And they have other little pieces if you want to do a mini photo shoot in the museum. It's probably not enough for a full cosplay shoot, but enough for you to kind of get the feel of what it is to put on a costume. And apparently they also have Warbler in the display case as well.
Warbler is so precious, it must be in a display case. That
Yes.
makes me giggle. I
The League of Legends part of me wants to scream, "You belong in a museum."
Nice.
But that's because Ez is one of my secondaries.
Nice.
I'm a Sivir main, but Ez is one of my backups. Yes, our hobby is museum worthy. We have achieved. We need a little cosplay badge that says museum.
We have achieved greatness.
Yes. We're officially famous. We did it, boys.
We're legit now.
Too legit.
Too legit to quit.
Yep. All right, so that's all I had in the news, unless you saw something else that is newsworthy.
No, those are all the ones that I hit on. So yeah, you're good.
Awesome. And of course, if you guys find any news stories about cosplay that we haven't talked about or that we haven't seen, please do send them to us. We enjoy reading these. Even if we don't necessarily talk about them on the air, we do read all of them because we like to keep up with what's going on in the community. All right, so next we would like to go ahead and preview Anime North Texas, which is coming up here in a scant less than 3 weeks.
Is it really that close? Oh my goodness. Oh my
It's
goodness.
November 20th, and today's the first, so it's a little under
Gosh.
3 weeks.
So soon.
I know. Val's going to be previewing this one. Unfortunately, I had to drop A&T from my schedule because adulting, I had to pay the massive bill for my house repair, so. Woo! Go, Val!
Yay. Yeah, it's one of those things though where we don't really have a whole lot of info yet because they don't really post their schedule until like a week or two out. So we still don't have a general idea about what's gonna be going on there, but we do know who the cosplay guests are. We do know that it's Team USA from World Cosplay Summit this year, Yami Kimura and Alpaca Cosplay, and Quantum Destiny, who I am like fangirling and dying over because she's one of the reasons why I got into cosplay. I was interested in the subject. I Googled, and she was one of the first ones that popped up with her Slayer's work, and I was like, I want to be like that. I want to be like her. So this is going to be a real treat, and I've already gotten contact with her. We're trying to figure out some way to get an interview going or something. So this is going to be Val attempting to not fangirl all over the place. That's essentially what ANT is going to be. But knowing that, she's already said that she's going to be doing at least one or two panels on wig work. So that'll be good. That's something I think that we're definitely missing from our category of panels is like excessive, amazing wig work panels. So that'll be interesting to see. Plus, we have the cosplay contest. That means we have three really, really excellent judges this time around that are on a completely different level who have actually competed internationally, legitimately internationally. So they're going to have a different eye on what to look for cosplay this time. So that'll be really interesting to see. And I'm sure that means people are going to be stepping up their cosplay game when they enter. But yeah, other than that, we got a brand new hotel to look forward to, which I've seen, which I've been there. I've done a promo photo shoot there. It's a really nice hotel, big hotel, so much bigger than where they have been previously. There's no pretty water fountain in the center. Instead, we have cows and bull made out of barbed wire. It's very Texan. We'll roll with it. But
Very,
a
very
couple.
well.
Yeah. Very, very, very Western theme, but that's okay. Hopefully that the weather stays the way that it is. The water gardens, the Fort Worth Water Gardens, are just a couple of blocks south of the hotel. So that'll make for some really lovely photos there. So I know people are going to be taking advantage of the photography space. But yeah, other than that, that's really what I'm looking forward to is Quantum Destiny. Oh my God. Fangirl! You thought I was nutty around Sparkle Pipsy. Oh my God. Just wait. It'll be worse.
Yep. And I know there's a lot of people who are looking forward to the new hotel because there have been so many good things going on with the first 2 years of ANT.
Yeah, they managed to fill out the first 2 years pretty quickly. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that some of us are missing that convention in DFW that kind of hits during this time of year. And ANT just fills that void really nicely.
Yep,
And
what was formerly Yulecon.
They've done a good job the past 2 years. We've been really happy with how they've ran everything and how everything is set up, how the staff treats us. Staff has always been fantastic with us.
Guys, we could use press credentials when you have a moment.
I bug somebody about that. He's getting back to me.
That has been my only complaint. I mean, aside from it being so far away from me, but it's because I live out here in the middle of nowhere compared to everybody else. But my only complaint has been the distinct lack of communication or a lack of consistent communication with ANT. I've noticed that a lot of people have been posting on their Facebook fan page, basically asking, when are we going to hear about panels? I submitted a panel and never heard back. That's something that can really mess with a convention's reputation. So I would really urge them, just as any convention, I would urge anybody who runs the conventions, communication with your attendees is number one. From anything else, you can have crappy guests, you can have a crappy location. But if you don't communicate well with your people, they won't even set foot on your property, let alone whoever you have as guests, panelists, whatever. So communicate, please, please, please communicate with your fans.
Big, big, big header. Communicate with people. That was my big gripe with Akon this year, and that they're doing a whole lot of to make up for that. They're making a lot of changes. I'll keep it at that.
Yes. And they understood, Akon understands that they had issues that need addressing. So they will be remedying that. And we would urge ANT to do the same. Please consider your fans when they are saying, we're not getting communication from you. That is all.
But yeah, other than that, I really don't have anything until they have a schedule set up or kind of up in the air. Though I did find it very interesting that one of our most watched panels was Heidi's leather tutorial from A&T last year. So I think based off of our views and how much product we get out of A&T, guys can definitely expect us to have a lot of really good panel content, that's for sure.
As always. And of course, you guys can find our past panels from previous conventions on our website, on YouTube. The YouTubes. Yes,
The
go there.
YouTubes. Go to this link right here. Because I actually have a playlist specifically for panels. So it has all the panels there. You don't even have to search for them. Done.
All the panels, all the
All the
panels.
panels. Wax on, wax off.
And I know there's a big controversy brewing with YouTube right now and YouTube Red. All I will say is that as far as the podcast is concerned, I will keep it ad-free as long as I am able. You know, I'm not willingly going to put in ads unless it means the complete taking down of the show. But otherwise, I'm not going to subject you guys to that. This will be ad-free. As long as I am able and as long as I am in charge of the podcast. Because I don't believe in ads.
Luckily for you guys, we're still considered small potatoes on YouTube, so they really haven't touched us unless it's been like a music copyright issue, which we've pretty much corrected almost immediately. Otherwise, everything that you see and hear from us is going to be 100% ad-free. We're going to keep it that way as long as we darn well can.
Take that, YouTube. I'm joking.
We like you, Google. Please don't blow up Hangouts.
Don't blow up Hangouts and please don't remove our channel.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't.
All right. So, that aside, there was a nifty documentary recently posted on Facebook about World Cosplay Summit this past year. So, we both went ahead and watched, and we'll link it in the show so that you guys can see it as well. But it was basically a series of interviews with the different team members from all the different WCS teams about their experience with WCS. And I think they spent the first, what, 2 or 3 minutes mentioning just how hot it was. I mean, it was almost like the footage was on a loop where each team just kept saying how hot it was, how hot it was, how hot it was. Guys, the competition was the 1st of August. It's the hottest time in the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, it's going to be hot. Come to Texas. We are the lords of hot. We are not the kings of hot, though, because that's Arizona and Southern California.
There you go.
We are the lords of hot, though. We know what it's like for it to be 104, 105, 110 in the summer. We live with it on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's a little bit different with Japan though, because not only is it hot, it's also humid at the same time. So you're just getting a double dose of the evilness at
Well, I mean,
once.
it's humid in Texas too, depending on where you go.
Not that humid. Not that humid by comparison. It's like Atlanta humid with Texas heat. It's nasty. Really nasty.
But once we got past the yes, it is hot in Japan moments,
And they proceeded to repeat it about every 5 to 8 minutes afterwards.
the documentary was only 24 minutes long for perspective. But basically, they went through and talked about why they did WCS, what they did while there in terms of interacting with the other teams, what they took away from it, and advice for those who would be considering doing it in the future. I'm trying to give you a chance to talk a little.
Okay. That's a good summary of it, though.
I
It's one
was
of those.
listening to it. I didn't even watch it. I was listening because I was sitting there whacking my walls with joint compound. So, you know, give me a little bit of a break here.
But you, I mean, you hit it right on the nose. That's exactly what it was. And it was basically each team talking about, the things that they loved about WCS, what the host country did for them, about how much it's grown over the past couple of years. One thing that I thought was interesting was that, they've always had to keep it, within like 2 to 3 buses of people, kept it relatively small. But now that they've had 4 more teams coming in this year and possibly 4 more coming in next year, it's like, okay, now we got to expand. We need to get more people to help us out. And they just went over some of the activities that they did. And I thought it was really interesting how almost every team pretty much said the exact same thing about their experience, how much they loved it, how everybody came in feeling like this was a family, like almost their extended family. But they all just said it a little bit differently. And I was like, well, that's kind of a cool way to look at it. And the fact that everybody can have that same experience and share it amongst all these different people from around the world is just so inspiring. And it's really, really cool to see. Granted, since they talk so much about the heat, and just to kind of put it into perspective, they were looking at 40 to 42 degrees Celsius days. By comparison, that's about 104 to 115 degrees, give or take a few degrees Fahrenheit. I've decided since then I will not be doing WCS ever because I will probably die of heat exhaustion. Something to keep in mind is nearly all the events that the competitors have to attend require them to be dressed up in costume. There's a couple events here and there where they don't have to be, that's fine. But like opening ceremonies, the carpet, they have to do a shrine to be blessed for, the week of events and all that fun stuff. A lot of it is outdoors, in the sun, in the heat, with no air conditioning, no fans. You have to hope that your costume allows you to have a fan with you, and you furiously go like this the entire time and probably break your arm in the process.
And this is not fan like spinning blade fan. This is fan like, yeah.
Yeah, it did not look all that appealing, and now I understand why our Team USA girls chose to pick costumes that had cotton and that were very lightweight and breathable, because it's like, oh my goodness, it's the middle of summer in Japan where it's really hot and really humid. I still don't know how some of those cosplayers were able to walk that red carpet, which one of them had commented felt like it was like the boiling sun that they were walking on. Because the heat was reflecting off the carpet, making it a little bit more hotter than normal. But seriously, like full armor outfits, and they were walking down this thing for miles. And it's like, oh my goodness. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, because you're still there representing your country, so it's not like they can, phone it in as far as their costumes go. They can't just go in wearing a t-shirt and jeans and call it a costume. They still went all out on their costumes, even for the simpler events.
They really had to stand out and showcase, this is what our country is about, and we'll melt in the process.
Sacrifice for the sake of cosplay. It's like Dragon Con all over again.
Oh my goodness, yes. And it was also really interesting to see how just the citizens just came out in droves just to see these cosplayers. People who were cheering everybody on, and it was just like crowds everywhere. People really embrace the competition and the cosplay summit. And I was like, that's also really flippin' awesome to see. The Team USA girls happened to mention, some people were shouting at them saying, "Go Team USA," as they were walking in the red carpet. And these were people they didn't know. They just happened to Google them online and saw all their work and were really impressed with it. So they started cheering for their favorite team.
And they chose characters that were very well liked by the
Absolutely.
locals.
Absolutely. It was really cool to see the variety of costumes too, like, because you had everything from video games to anime, manga. Since it is WCS, it has to be very Japanese centric in their costumes, so totally get that. But it was cool to see the amount of variety that was involved.
So we will go ahead and again link it for you guys so that you guys can go ahead and take a watch, take a listen. There are a couple of places where the WCS members are speaking in their native languages, and so I do believe that they subtitle in the couple of places where there
They do.
isn't English being spoken. There's just a couple of spots where you may wish to watch, but otherwise you can listen to it in the background.
It's also really interesting. I didn't realize how many countries utilize English. Like, I knew it was a very predominant language. I realized, like, I tried to think back to the Olympics. It's like, okay, it's usually English, French, and then whatever country the host country is. That tends to be like the three languages they center around. So many countries speak English, oh my goodness, and really well.
A
Kind of
lot of
surprised
them
me.
do it as a second language.
Yeah, I was surprised,
Or
and it just
third.
kind of, or yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like I realized that it was an important language. I didn't realize it was that important. I was like, okay, maybe me being big-headed American going like, ha, you've learned our language, ha.
Maybe they're like, okay, so when are you going to learn ours?
I'm working on it. I know basic Japanese and French, it's fine. As she shakes her head at me.
No, we love our cosplayers from all countries, all around the world. We have international listeners, and we have a lot of international cosplayer friends who we interact with on a regular basis. So, we welcome any competitor from any country, regardless of what language they speak, regardless of what costumes they're wearing. It's all in good fun. The WCS members all had a fantastic time making friends. I think they had mentioned in the documentary that all the teams were friends with all the other teams, regardless of where you came from, and that they would all do it again in a heartbeat. So, anyone who's thinking about WCS, yes, it's hot. Yes, it's going to be hot. That is the long and short of it. Plan for it and go have fun anyway.
There you go.
All right. So, moving on.
Segue out of that, sorry.
No, there's not. All right. So, we know that Halloween is over, but as of the filming of this, you can still go to Spirit Halloween stores and go dig through their clearance sales and just about any other Halloween store, Party City too. You can go through and get clearance items and start preparing for next year already. And or your next convention, which for a lot of people is going to be coming early next year. Their con season is kind of a little bit of a lull right now, a little bit, and people are already prepping for next year. So what I wanted to do, something I've actually been intending to do for a little while, is to go ahead and do a review and a bit of a tutorial, and Val can help me out with this, of prosthetics, specifically elf ears. And these are from Eridani Studios, and you can find their link here. Basically, they're a duo that specializes in costume grade prosthetics and theatrical costumes at decent prices. They're not museum grade by any quality, but they're very affordable for the average costumer. They do a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff in particular, and they also do artwork on the side if you're interested in that. But whenever you're looking for elf ears, if you ask anybody online, where do you get elf ears? The number one answer is going to be Eridani because they are the
Eridani.
best known and because they have the best quality for the price. So, of course, I have two pairs from them. I have the small elf ears and I have the large, what they call Lodoss War ears. And these are the ones that were first used for World of Warcraft before they actually got in the World of Warcraft ear line that they now have. Because, of course, you'll find that elf ears, they can point different directions. They can either point down like these do, or they can point up like the small ears actually do have a little bit of an upward point to them, as you can see. So now they have lines that have both sets for World of Warcraft, because apparently there's a difference between Night Elves and Blood Elves. So there you
Yes,
go.
there is a huge difference, and there while people will get mad at you if you do not know the difference. I'm just going to say that.
But I will say that the majority of their elf ears are made of latex. So if you are allergic, unfortunately, you cannot wear these without a minimum of a very strong barrier between you and the ear. And even then, if you're allergic, you may want to consider silicone. But their ears run, I believe, between 1.5 inches to 10 inches for the very largest manga set. They're actually called Twilight ears. And they're large enough. I mean, these are the 6 inch.
Yeah, those are huge.
These are what they call manga ears. And these are for Lodoss War. And even these are a little bit hard to wear without having some sort of armature behind them, because they do, you can see it, they flop, and they will flop with you too whenever you shake your head, even with them on, because there's nothing, there's no armature inside of these. There's no wire, there's nothing holding these together, so there's no sort of structure. So that's something to think about. If you don't want floppy ears, you may not want to go with the 6-inch manga variety.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, now they do. I know Yaya makes these out of plastic. They are solid. They're not hollow like these, so you can't slip them on over your own ears. They're meant to be hidden by a wig. So if you need something with more structure, consider getting the plastic version of these. But if you want to slip them over your own ears and have them look a little more realistic, you'll want to go with the basic latex set. These generally run between $10 and $25 for a pair, and they will paint them for you to match your skin tone in a basic sort of sense. You know, they don't do custom skin tones, but they'll sell you the makeup so that you can. And you can also color these using paint mixed with latex if you wish. Don't use standard makeup on these. You have to use specialized makeup on these because it will actually degrade the latex, and then you will not have ears anymore. And while they are cheap, you don't want to have to replace them every time you have to wear them. The nice thing about Eridani's ears is that they will last you forever. I think my D-Lit ears, these guys, I want to say, are 6 years old, and they're still, I mean, you can see it in camera, these are still in remarkably good condition. All the makeup is still on them, all the coloration is still on them, no tears, no holes. And I've worn these multiple times and taken them off multiple times. So there is that. So if you keep them and you maintain them, they will last you for a long time. These aren't like Party City ears. You don't wear them twice and be done, unless you want to be. So they will last you for a long time. They are, again, costume grade latex. They are manufactured in Nashville, so they are USA made. I love that they have recommended age 5 and up. So if you wish to be a hobbit, you have to be at least 5.
There's an age limit on being a hobbit and an elf.
Yes. And they will actually rate them for 6 to 7 years for the life, average life expectancy of their latex ears. So basically, whenever you purchase these on their website, you can get just the ears if you want, or you can get what they call the kit, the ear kit, which comes with two things. It comes with spirit gum, and it comes with spirit gum remover, both of which are very important. Spirit gum, this stuff, is actually made from a derivative of tree resin. If you are allergic to tree resin, do not put this on your skin, please, because bad things will happen.
Very bad
But
things will happen.
if you don't know if you're allergic, you can always purchase a little bottle. These are about $3. You can get these at Party City if you want to. It's all the same stuff. And paint a very small amount on the back of your hand. If you have a reaction, don't use it on your ears. You know, you don't want to put these ears on only to find out you have a reaction. So just try a little bit, make preparations, make sure safety first and all that stuff. So once you know that you're not allergic, what you do is you take your spirit gum, and I'm not actually going to do this because I have to have headphones on and I can't wear headphones. Ugh. Can't wear headphones with ears on. But you would take a little bit of the spirit gum, which comes with a little brush. You can see it just like nail polish. And you brush a little bit on the back side of the ear, basically following the edge of the ear. Because what it does is it acts as a temporary adhesive. And you can actually see the latex build up on the back of the ear for mine. But once you have the adhesive on here, then you would simply slide it over your own ear like that, and then you press down and you hold it there until the spirit gum dries. And that can take anywhere between 30 and 60 seconds, depending on how much spirit gum you used and how dry your skin is. If your skin is a little bit wet, it's a little harder for it to bond, so you want to make sure that it's nice and dry and clean, definitely clean. Soap. And you can just wiggle it a little bit. You know, you'll feel when it's dry, and then when it's done, then you can lift away and the ear will stay. Now, You'll want to make sure that you also get some along the back lip of the ear, the part that goes on the back of your ear to help hold it, especially with the bigger ears, to make sure that you've got a good hold on your own ear. So that is spirit gum. One side note for those of us who have sideburns and or long hair, Val, I'm sure that you can speak to this more than I do because you use prosthetics more than I do. But if you get spirit gum or liquid latex in your hair, you're going to lose the hair. It's going to be pulled out with the spirit gum and the latex. So your best bet is to use either coconut oil or Vaseline, vitamin E oil, just some lubricant to go ahead and soften up and slick back the hair that's on your sides so that the spirit gum doesn't stick to it and pull it out with you. You can be the hairless wonder, which I actually did one year. The first year I was Arwen, I did not know that. And I put spirit gum, and I have very substantial sideburns, as you can see. And I did not have substantial sideburns when I was done.
Amber learned from her mistake.
I did. And I'm not willing, a lot of people are willing to, but I'm not willing to shave my sideburns for prosthetics because I kind of need my sideburns. I look funny without them, as I found out. So, just saying. Pro tip.
Couple things I'm going to add to that. Spirit gum is air activated, so that's where the natural adhesion comes together, is when it hits the air. So what I like to do with my prosthetics is I'll put the piece on, then I'll flip it up, like roll it up just a little bit, and I can do this with the ears as well. Like I'll roll it out to the side, let the air hit it for about 5 to 10 seconds, and then I stick it back on. And it actually creates a better bond with your spirit gum. So that's something to keep in mind. Also, if you do happen to get some in your hair somewhere or another, even if it's in a small little patch, a good idea is to use Prozaid remover, which is an alcohol-based remover that you use for Prozaid. And hey guys, if you can't use spirit gum, Prozaid, it's a medical grade adhesive they use for like casts. Lots of prop makers and prosthetic users use this now as an alternative, and no allergic reaction for me so far, so I like this stuff a lot. But yeah, as an alternative, Prozaid remover, it works really well on spirit gum. If you're afraid about it pulling out your hair, just spritz it on and go really, really slowly with cleaning it off as slowly as possible.
Yes. And if you have a hotel room and you're putting these on, you can use a hair dryer to speed up the process a little bit by forcing air toward the spirit gum, and it'll help it stick a little bit faster. It still really only takes 30 to 60 seconds, guys. It's not
No.
that long.
No, it doesn't take long at
You
all.
stick with.
Actually, I'd say the Prozaid takes a lot longer than spirit gum, but it has a much stronger
Much
hold
better
too.
hold.
And I think people tend to dismiss spirit gum thinking, oh, well, you can get it at a party store. It's kind of cheap and junky. Not at all. I've used it on prosthetics and they've lasted all day long. As long as you put it on properly and you let it like adhere properly, you're good.
Yep, and that's the important part because basically you want these to stay on all day. So you may as well spend the time making sure that they're put on properly in the first place so you don't have an ear emergency. It can happen, and you don't want to carry the stuff around with you on the con floor. You want it to stick and not move the whole day so you don't have to worry about it.
I will say that I still bring my spirit gum with me. Even though I have yet to have a single emergency with it, I still bring it with me just in case. I've had other people use it instead.
And once you have these on and they are stuck to your ear, you may find that it's a little harder to hear. And that's simply the nature of the design of the ears. If you wish, you can cut out the little portion that's here on the inside, like the little half circle that covers up your ear canal. You can cut it out a little bit, but it's still going to look a little funny. And it's still covering up part of your ear. So it's going to be a little bit hard to hear. That's just the long and short of it. So do keep that in mind, say if you are expecting cell phone calls while wearing these. Once you have them on, hey, I had to take a cell phone call with my deadlit ears on. You
Oh,
hush.
I've had to do it with my Asari headpieces, and I'm always like, dude, I can't hear you. Let me tell you where I'm at so you can find me.
I usually tell people to text me at that point. It's like, just assume I'm not going to hear you.
Exactly. I can text you. I can't talk. Bye.
Once these are on, you may wish to hide the edges, because even with the best application of spirit gum, you're still going to know that these are prosthetics if you look and if they're not covered by, say, sideburns or hair. So if you have raw edges and you wish to try and blend them in with the rest of your skin so that it looks natural, then you may want to consider liquid latex. You can get the Party City brand. I don't recommend it unless you're literally going to use it once and only once. And even then, it's not that great. But you'll note that spirit gum, I think my Deedlit bottle is as old as the ears. I want to say it's 5 or 6 years old and it's still good. Spirit gum will stay good forever. Liquid latex does not. It turns gummy and gooey and nasty rather quickly. It has a shelf life. And that's something that you'll want to think about if you're going to be doing this repeatedly. So I would recommend going to a theatrical shop, whether online or in person, and get theatrical liquid latex. It's better quality, it will last you longer, and you'll be happier for it.
And for our latex allergy enthusiasts,
allergic,
Prozade can also be used as an alternative. Aha! This is why we love Prozade. It's just magical.
Yes. And again, you know, think about the hair around it as you're doing this. So once that's done, you know, you've got your liquid latex on, which incidentally, you apply it with a sponge, which they give you, and you literally dab it on. And again, you can use forced air, hair dryer to force it to dry faster because it's also air activated. So you've got your ears on, you've got your liquid latex, everything looks fine and dandy. And then you'll want to, you know, put on the rest of your costume around it. And generally, there aren't any problems with the ear prosthetic staying on all day. I know that Eridani's do for sure, because I've done it multiple times. Theirs will stay on for at least 8 hours. When you are done with them, assuming everything goes smoothly, you should simply be able to bend it just a little bit to break the seal of the latex or the Prozade. Well, Prozade is going to be different. But if you have liquid latex on there, you can just bend the ear a little bit to kind of crack the seal and then literally peel them off like a skin, because that's effectively what it is. It's a skin of latex. That's why your hair comes off with you, because it attaches to the hair roots and it pulls them off with it when you peel off the ears. That's unpleasant. So go nice and slow. Don't use scissors, please, because you run the risk of chopping these up. But just go nice and slow. Use spirit gum remover prodigiously to help get it off of your skin, because you will have leftover latex on your skin. Most of it you can just scrape off with a fingernail, because it is effectively just skin. You can just peel it off and then just shower real good afterward. And that's it. You don't have to scrub your ears. The latex, you can literally just kind of rub off and it will come off. Don't scrape too hard, because you will scrape the makeup off the ear and it will degrade it much faster. But other than that, if you just abrade just gently, you see, I'm not working too hard at this, all the latex will come off and then your ears are ready for their next use. That's really it as far as putting them on and taking them off. When they're not in use, Ziploc baggie is your friend, because you don't want these exposed to air. If these just sit out in the open for a while, for some reason, I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but they will degrade faster. They'll become dry and brittle. So I put mine in a bag and then I roll it. If it's not a Ziploc bag, then I'll just roll it real tight around them to create a seal of the air. And then I store them in a box. I store them in a dark box, not in light. And I store them along with my handy chemicals, again, in the dark. And I have had no problems with them for several years. So I totally endorse Eridani's ears. No, they're not paying me. That would be awesome. Just kidding. We don't do sponsorships, but Eridani ears are very good. They are who I go to for all of my ear needs. In fact, I need to probably replace both sets of ears, since they're kind of getting to the end of their lifespan. So I need to get another set, and I will be doing it from Eridani.
Something
You want
that
to
I
talk
do
about
want to
Prozaid?
say, yeah, something I do want to add as far as cleaning them, because I am an advocate of cleaning up your latex prosthetic pieces, even if it's just a little bit of light soap and water and just very gently dabbing them, that helps maintain the life of the latex piece. So don't just immediately shove it into a bag with all the old latex and all the old spirit gum still attached to it, because it's just going to degrade it that much faster. So make sure you take care of these things. And I'm not saying like don't throw them away the second that you take them off. Like literally as you take them off, take care of them right then and there, because that does make a big difference.
Yep. I mean,
Big, big difference.
I haven't scrubbed mine with soap and water. I have found that that actually degrades the makeup on these. And I don't know if it's just because of the age of these, but I would say that your advice is sound, especially if you have a newer set of ears. Just gentle, gentle. I mean, you can even take a toothbrush and
Oh,
just
yeah.
gentle scrubbing
Very,
with
very
soap and
gentle
water.
scrubbing.
Yep. And you'll want to test that probably on the underside of the ear first, just to make sure that, like mine, it's not going to scrub off makeup when you do that.
And see, I don't get when I have the Iridani ears, I have one pair of them. I ended up actually painting them myself using rubber cement. So I have a different technique. So I know that cleaning them is not going to make the stuff come off. The
Right.
way that they do their makeup techniques, different from mine. When it
I have
comes,
the pre-painted.
yep, there you go. What I do with Prozaid is you just use Prozaid remover. You can't really do the technique of rubbing at it and then peeling at it off, because it's gonna hurt like a mofo. There's just no way about it. Again, medical grade adhesive. It's not easy to take off. You need to use the Prozaid remover or 95% proof plus rubbing alcohol, which is available at Walmart, by the way. And it's just taking dabs of it and then slowly doing circles across your skin where the Prozaid is, and eventually it will peel off. It just takes a lot of time. That's the downside of this sucker, is it takes time to put on, time to take off. But it ain't gonna budge till you tell it to budge.
And it's not something that water will remove regularly.
No.
So if you end up leaving residue on your skin, it's not something that will come off when you shower.
It'll take about a week until it actually finally comes off from all that washing and scrubbing.
So you may as well do it right the first time. Yeah, it's going to take you forever, but remove all the residue the first time so you don't have to worry about it just like naturally peeling off your skin.
It's not fun. It sucks.
No, like, again, pros and cons.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of this advice is good for all latex prosthetics, not just elf ears. Elf ears just happen to be the most common. They don't really weigh anything except for the extra long ears. Those tend to have a little bit of weight to them, but most of these are real light. You'll feel that they're on simply because you'll hear kind of the hollow sensation of having your ear canals covered up a little bit. But otherwise, you can't even really tell you have them on.
They
Good
do a good
stuff.
job. I like their work.
And of course, if you want to do it yourself and do custom elf ears, there are instructables in several places for casting your own out of latex. But if you're like me and lazy and just want them pre-made, Eridani does a really good job. And they have a lot more styles than they used to. They used to mostly just do the elf ears that were pointed up and then the one pair that points down. But now you can get halfling, you can get sea elf, you can get all different size of elf. They'll do space elf, which are for Vulcans. They'll do troll ears. They have fawn satyr ears. They have all sorts of stuff. So well worth it. And their website is simply EridaniCostumes.com. Now, they'll actually sell ear cuffs to try and get you to cover the gap at the bottom where you can see the flap of the ear so you can tell you have prosthetics on. They use ear cuffs to cover that up instead of doing liquid latex. So it's a neat idea. Unfortunately, it only covers the bottom part. You still have to worry about the top flap right here. So there is that. All right, that is all I have for today, unless you have anything else.
Nope, I'm good.
Then we are all good. Thank you guys for listening to us for this episode 102 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
You forget who
Val
we
is
were for a
making the
second?
What?
Did you forget who we were for a second?
No, your V for Victory dance kind of distracted me. I'm like, it's
Yay!
good.
It's
Yes.
good. It's
You
good.
guys can find us on all of our social media, which will be here on the screen. Of course, feel free to email us at any time, podcast@costpod.org. If you guys have any news stories, please share them with us. If you have any pictures from conventions, we love those too. And of course, we love chatting with you guys on all of our social media, so always feel free to message us. Good luck to those who are doing Extra Life next weekend. Again, please do consider donating to them, watching their streams, giving a little bit to help out kids in need. Happy Halloween, and hopefully those of you who are prepping for ANT, best of luck. Get cracking on them costumes. See you guys next episode in 103. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.